Amen, amen, amen. Turn and look at somebody and say, I get to. Just, I get to. Amen. Hallelujah. How many wives in here, you would love it if your husband had to take you out on a date? Had to take you out on a date. How many of you wives would love that? I don't think so. I don't think most wives would love that. I think most wives would want you to want to. I get to take my wife out on a date. I mean, I could just see it. Okay, my sweetheart says, honey, can we go out for dinner? Oh, if I have to. Yeah, it just wouldn't go real well. You know, it just wouldn't. It's get to. Turn again and just say, get to. I get to. I get to serve the Lord. I get to walk with God. How many of you have that little sheet of paper that was handed out? It's got some different translations of scriptures. You either have one for last Sunday, from last Sunday, or one was handed to you today. And Alan, Sharon, do we have any more left out, or did they all get handed out? There's some left. If you don't have one, you'll want one, okay? Because it's a different translation, and it's quite different, and it's basically a little half sheet of paper that looks like this. She's got three. I got two extra that I can give away if there's anybody that needs one. Amen. Scott, did you just give yours away? Well, you got to, didn't you? Amen. Somebody else? We're all good? Scott, you can have yours back. Amen. I don't know when we're going to get to it, but hallelujah. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. Okay. Yep. Let's do Romans chapter 12. I'm trying to listen on the inside. I got plenty of stuff I could teach, and I got plenty of verses of scripture that I could go to this morning. I probably got more than I'll get to. But what I really want to do is catch what would be the most beneficial for us all from the Father. So I'm really purposing to listen down here as I talk and as I share this morning. And we'll start with Romans chapter 12. And we'll read first off that sheet of paper you got, that translation. It's called the Passion Translation. And I just really like it, and I like the way it presents a question. And for anybody who's listened to me for any length of time at all, you know I ask a lot of questions. I just ask a lot of questions because I believe they get us engaged. And if you follow Jesus' ministry, you'll notice he asked a lot of questions when he talked to people. So I think it's a good thing. It's a great way to have conversation. So Romans chapter 12, we're going to be reading out of the Passion Translation, and you've got a sheet of paper in front of you with a number of verses from chapter 12. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? Now we need to stop there for a second. How great have God's marvelous mercies been to you? Take a moment and think about it. I really want you to take a moment and think about it. And then if anybody wanted to share some of those marvelous mercies, that'd be great too. Because understanding those marvelous mercies is going to place some weight in our response. You know, if somebody thinks, God hadn't really done much for me, what might they think? Well, I guess I don't need to do much for him.
Amen.
Can I see that, please?
I'm trying to get connected.
Oh, yeah. Who said that? Good word, Scotty, good word. Have mercy. You know, but if we don't understand the amazing things that God has done for us, maybe we won't appreciate them. And I think it's important for us to remind ourselves of what they are and to remember them from time to time. Do you know remembering God's mighty power is one of the key elements to having God's mighty power continue to manifest itself in our lives? Over there in Psalms it said, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Okay? The Holy One of Israel is God. And what did people do to God? Now think about that for a moment. What does that verse of Scripture say they did to him? They limited the Holy One of Israel. How many of us in here think God can just do whatever he wants, whenever he wants? How many of you know he can't? He can't. I'll prove it to you. How many of you do what he wants you to do all the time? What did he give you? Free will. Does God want anybody to perish? Do people die every day without Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and end up in hell for eternity? Is that God's will? It's not God's will for that to happen, yet it happens. There's all kinds of stuff that happens that is not God's will. How many of us want to? That is not his will. How many of us in here want to limit him? And see, he can be limited. They limited the Holy One of Israel. How did they do it? And you know what's crazy? We had to turn there. Wow. We ought to turn there. Head with me if you would, please. Psalms. I'll tell you exactly which one when I get there. Psalms 78. How many of you know this is not in my notes? But this is good. It's right for today. It's right for now. Amen. Go to Psalm 78. Start reading at verse 41. Psalm 78, 41. And I haven't forgot my first point. What should be our proper response to his marvelous mercies? Amen. So, my wife does an awesome job. She cooks a fantastic meal. It's delicious. It's like my favorite. And I'm like, eh. Wonder when I'm going to get that meal again. Might be a while, huh? How many of us like it when we do something for somebody and they show appreciation? This is kind of fun. I'm getting to watch husbands and wives nudge each other. I'm enjoying this morning. A little bit of meddling going on is okay. But you know what? When someone does something awesome for somebody, it is great to show appreciation back. How many parents in here have ever felt this way? As a parent, have you ever felt this way? After all I've done for you. Any parents ever thought that? Any parents ever wanted to say that to your children? Yeah, you know, after all I've done for you. Because sometimes we do so much for people and they don't appreciate it. And then they actually forget it. And as a parent, I can guarantee you, as a parent, the temptation can be a long time before I do that again. You know? But what they did, look at this here, and I want us to get the setting, that why we turned here. Psalms 87, verse 41. Yes, 78, thank you very much, praise God, you got it right, you're listening. It was just a test. No, that's me being me. Oh. Yes, sir? You passed the test? Yeah, amen. Hallelujah, glory. Psalms 87, verse 41. Just go to 41. Thank you, David. That's a good idea. Oh, verse 41. Psalms. Okay. Honey, will you pray for me? Verse 41. Yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited him. How? They did not remember his power. Let's read on a little bit. The day when he redeemed them from the enemy, when he worked his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zion
turned the rivers into blood and their streams that they could not drink. He sent swarms of fleas among them, which devoured them, and frogs. How many of you, with me just reading that little bit, can figure out what the setting is? Isn't this God getting the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he worked these incredible miracles, these incredible signs for their freedom. And what does it say they did? They did not remember. You know what? How many of us face things today? We face opposition today. We face resistance today. We do. We do. And let me put it in this context for us. There are times when God will want us to serve somebody. God will want us to love somebody. God will want us to go the second mile. God will want us to continue to be there for that person. But they're acting ugly. They're not appreciating, they're not receiving, you know, they're not grateful. And that's the resistance that we feel. Can you relate? Is this making sense? I mean, it's not like somebody's coming up physically and pushing on you. It's just that someone is just saying, I don't care to hear what you have to say. I just don't want. You know, and you can feel that rejection. What is our tendency to do sometimes? Pull back. Stop caring. Stop reaching out. Stop loving. Stop putting ourselves in a position where we can maybe be walked on. Where we can maybe be disrespected. Where we can maybe be talked ugly about. The series that I'm doing, and it is a series, and it started on Easter. And Easter's message was, into the mess. Into the mess. Are we willing to go into the mess that sometimes is going on in people's lives? Anybody in here ever had your life in a mess? Anybody in here ever have somebody willing to come into that mess of yours and love you and to be there for you? That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about going into the mess. And I think if we're all truthful, there are times we don't want to go into the mess. I don't want to go into the mess. I want to go play. Amen? But Jesus left heaven, came into the mess of this world. And if that wasn't messy enough, he went to a cross and died and went into the mess of hell. Wow. And so the thing is, are we willing to go into the mess? And then so thankful to Lisa Parsons and so thankful to Jeff Johnson, because Jeff built me a trough and then he brought some manure and we got dirt and we mixed it together in the trough, and Lisa volunteered, jumped right up right away and took off her shoes and walked through that mess. And then there were people ready to wash her feet. Thank you, Francis. Diana got to help on that too. But you know, are we really willing to go into the mess? That's part of what I'm talking about. And okay, why do we need to remember his great power? Because it's through his great power that we can go into that mess and know that we can trust him to have what they need to get the victory, to get out of that mess. Amen? And here's the other thing about it. You want to know what going into the mess is and giving to people is? That's one of the greatest blessings we get. You want to get blessed? Go into someone's mess. How many of you think Jesus is blessed today? He starts and thinks about all of the people who would have gone to hell. But instead, they go to heaven. See, that's what I'm talking about. Guys, it's a blessing to get to go into other people's lives and love on them. And you know what? I don't think we should do drive-by church. You know, hey, be blessed. No, 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 no. And I'm willing to spend some time. I'm willing to make some sacrifices. I'm willing to give up some things that I want to do to go into the mess, to get engaged in that person's lives. Amen? All right. And in order to be able to do that, we need to remember His great power. Because then God is able to work through us beyond what we're capable of doing on our own. Because here's one of the things that will hinder us and stop us from going into the mess. I can't. I don't know what to say. I don't have the answers. I don't know how to help them. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever had a thought like that stop you from going? Don't go alone. Don't go by yourself. Remember His great power. Remember His great love. And go into that mess with Him. And then you'll be amazed at what flows through you into that situation that brings about a deliverance. But that brings about a victory. That brings about an answer. I love when I get to talk to people and you're sharing things with them and you got your words and you get to talk to them and you get to give of the wisdom and the knowledge that God has given you and that flows through you. And there are times when I hear myself saying something and you guys have been there too. I will bet you a bunch of you have been there. You find yourself saying something that you had no idea was going to come out of you. And that ministered life to the person hearing, and their eyes just lit up. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever had that happen? How many of you'd like to have that happen again? Well, you know where that happens? In the mess. That's so often where it happens, is in the mess. Is in the mess. Well, hallelujah. Okay. Head with me to the book of Acts. head with me to the book of Acts, please. Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. I'm really... can I just share something with you because we're family? Is that okay? I know that the Father is wanting me to step into some different things and to minister in some ways that I haven't ministered in the past. So He's asking me to step into some new stuff. Guess what I don't want to do? I don't want to do it. Why? It's not comfortable. It's unfamiliar. And lots of times we don't want to go into the unfamiliar. We don't want to go into the uncomfortable. I would just as soon stay with what I'm used to. I would just as soon stay in my comfort zone. Anybody else? Well, nudge the person next to you and say, out of your comfort zone. Yeah, let's try that again. Out of your comfort zone. Amen. Yeah. Hello. Sometimes I hear people say, well, let me check my calendar when God asks them to do something. That just strikes me as funny. God would like us to do something. He would like us to go into a mess. He would like us to commit to a messy situation. And we're going, well, let me check my calendar. I don't know that I want that to be my response to God. I wonder if Jesus said, Father, can I check my calendar? I'm sure I'm busy tomorrow morning. You know what? And how many of you know Jesus was stepping into something that He didn't feel like stepping into? The night in the garden before He went to the cross, Father, if it is possible, remove this cup from me. I don't want to go. God, that is not going to be comfortable. But what did he do? He went anyway. Yet, not my will, but thy will be done. And you know one of the ways he did it? You know one of the ways he did it? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, to sit down at the right hand of the throne of God? Who for the joy that was set before him? So let's put an order here. Sawyer, will you help me? Okay, yeah, this is good. Will you be the cross for me? Yeah, what a great cross. So here's Jesus. And the cross is ahead of him. And who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross? So he had the joy that was set before him on this side of the cross. And he used that joy to endure the cross. What was that joy that he had on this side of the cross that gave him what he needed to get to that side? Amen. Not yet. You get to work them muscles. You know what was on this side of the cross? Us. Saved. Forgiven. Redeemed. I am who I am, says I am, because of what Jesus Christ did on that cross. And the thing that gave him the ability to endure that cross was this joy that he had over there, thinking about what he was going to get on this side of it. You want to know how to keep going? You want to know how to get into the mess? Think about the potential of what can happen. Amen? Because one of the things, how many of you know not everybody will say yes to what Jesus did on the cross? How many of you know not everybody will say yes to what you do for him? So is that what causes you, is that the deciding factor, whether you do it or don't? No. No. We do it. Amen. Thank you. I think we ought to give him a hand. Best cross I've ever seen. Amen. But we headed to Acts chapter 6. Amen. And please hang on to those sheets of paper that I've passed out the last 2 weeks. We haven't got to all of them, but I hope we will. I trust we will. We'll just keep going. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Now in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in daily distribution. In other words, they weren't getting enough food. They weren't getting taken care of. So a complaint arose. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." How many of you know that's not what the apostles were supposed to be doing, serving tables. How many of you think they would have? They would have. But you know what? They had something else to be doing. Did you know sometimes you doing your part frees somebody else up to do their part? Mm-hmm. Verse 3, "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of a good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." So what were they supposed to be doing? Prayer, continually, and the ministry of the word. Preaching the word, sharing the word, spending time in prayer, praying for the people that they were teaching, praying for people, ministering the word of God. That was their job. Verse 5, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude." Have you ever read that and noticed that this is the greatest miracle in all of the Bible? It pleased everybody. Everybody was happy? Wow, that's pretty good. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, the proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Now, I want to ask you a question. How many of you would like to be one of these seven? Stop. How many of you would say, yeah, I want to be one of those seven, Pastor? That would be cool. And what was these seven doing? Serving. Serving soup. And I just saw a bunch of hands go up and say, yeah, I want to be one of those seven. Can I ask you a question? Do we always value serving as a ministry that holds great value and great honor? I'll tell you what. I'll bet you there were people on that day going, gosh, can't you pick eight? Because I want to be one of them. What about in our lives today when opportunities to serve come along? How do we view it? Are we like Donkey in Shrek? Pick me! Pick me! Pick me! Pick me! Is that how we are? Or are we like... How are we? How are we when opportunities to serve come along? Amen? I don't know if I want to commit to that. I got something to do. You know, God put it on our hearts as a church. He gave us a mandate to pray. He didn't tell us, if you feel like it, pray. No. It was a mandate. Pray. Took it serious. I must confess, I was a little slow about getting started. And you know what made me a little slow about getting started? Was I really going to commit? Was I really going to commit? And I took some time and I pondered it and I thought about it. Like, okay, prayer. Every Monday and Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Committed. Opened it up to anybody who wanted to come and join. After a period of time went on, all right, prayer, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, every morning, 7 o'clock. Anybody wants to come, come and join. Time has rolled on. Other places in the church, people have committed to prayer. They'll show up at 10:30 on Tuesdays, 3 o'clock on some Mondays. You know, Ken is now there every Sunday or every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday morning at 7. I come in at 8 every Monday morning, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You know, but had to decide something. Had to make a decision. Am I going to commit? Once I start this, am I showing up every day? Am I showing up every day? Amen. But how many of you know that the tendency was to maybe back off? Because I wasn't sure I wanted to commit it. Okay? How do we view opportunities to serve? And you know what we're talking about? We're talking about going into the mess. Haven't left it. Talking about going into the mess. I'm so thankful for Diane Carter. And then Lori Steinhauer. Lori's here this morning. Lisa Parsons, she's gone because she's next door this morning. Lily's gone on occasion because she's gone over there. You know what? People who have committed to go and to serve. Lori, do you ever have Sundays when you maybe want to be over here listening to me? Switched around. But do you ever have Sundays when you would rather be over here listening to me? And with your husband. I'm not going to just get a straight yes out of her. Thank you. But on those mornings, you will sacrifice, and you'll go over there, and you don't get to sit in church next to your husband because you're willing to serve and you've committed to it. And it's great, but sometimes you don't feel like it. And sometimes it's inconvenient. But the reward on the other end of it is amazing. Amen? Did you guys? I wanted to do all of that on purpose. Because there are so many times when we don't feel like committing. When we don't feel like going into the mess. But guess what? We don't live our Christian life based on feelings. At least we're not supposed to. How many of you are glad Jesus didn't live his Christian life based on feelings? Amen? Now, don't let me miss this point. How many of you actually believe Jesus when he said, it is more blessed to give than receive? How many of you really believe that? It's really true. It is more blessed to give than receive. You know what I'm asking people to step into by exhorting and encouraging people to give and to serve and to go into the mess? Do you know what I'm really asking you to step into? Blessings. Rewards. Experiencing the joy. Amen? That's not so bad, is it? But I tell you what, we get this thinking in our thinking where, that doesn't sound fun. Oh, but the joy on the other side. The joy for somebody else. And then the joy you get back in return. I know it's different than how the world thinks. I know it's different. It's the opposite of what's put out there. I know that. But how many of you know God does things differently? Amen? And I'm going to finish up with this verse of scripture and then I'm going to stop. Here we are in Acts chapter 6 still. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, the proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed for them, they laid hands on them. Now notice what happens in verse 7. Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples was multiplied greatly. Huh. Do you think people stepping into serving, stepping into the mess, has anything to do with the word of God spreading and the number of disciples multiplying? Guarantee you. How many of you would like to see the word of God spread? How many of you would like to see the number of disciples, and disciples would be believers? How many of you would like to see that increase? Guess what? Step in. Step into serving. Commit to things that, boy, sometimes your flesh doesn't want to. Oh, step into the blessings. See, because I said something earlier that I don't want to forget. Lots of times it's when you step into the mess that the miracles and the fun things, the exciting things happen. They happen in the mess. They happen in the mess. And they did here. Verse 7 again. Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. How many of you know some stuff's going on there? Now they're getting the attention of the priests. Now they're getting the attention of the leaders. And you know what they're doing? They're coming over to Jesus. Wow. A lot of these leaders, a lot of these priests are saying, okay, I realize that Jesus Christ is the ultimate sacrifice. I get it now. I see it now. And what was a key factor in this? People serving. People stepping into the mess. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now notice this. And then Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs where? Among the people. Among the people. Where did he do the great wonders and signs? What was Stephen doing? He was serving soup. He'd be pouring soup for somebody at a table and they'd need prayer. And you know what he'd do? He'd pray for them. And guess what would happen? Great signs and miracles. Now, was he one of the 12 apostles? No. Do you have to be one of the apostles to be used to do great signs and wonders? No. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to quit right there. Just going to stop right there. I don't know how it feels for you, but for me, it feels like time just flew by. I hope that's how it feels for you. you know what's worse than a boring speaker? Shh. Not everybody's heard this, babe. You know what's worse than being a boring speaker? Oh, you know what's worse than hearing a boring speaker? Listening to a boring speaker? Being the boring speaker. That's worse. You know what's worse than listening to a boring speaker? Listening to a long-winded boring speaker. You know what's worse than that? Being a long-winded boring speaker. So let's go ahead and stand up. And I'm, you know what? Here's something I understand. I realize that as I went along this morning, for some of you, you've heard this before. You've heard this before. I get that. I know that. But I also know that some folks in here, you heard it in a different way, even though you've heard it before. Okay, and there's some people in here, you might have went, ah, I never quite looked at it like that before. I never looked at stepping into serving as stepping into joy. You know, we just don't see it that way. We sometimes have more of a negative mindset if we're going to serve and if we're going to commit. And, you know, it's kind of opposite of how the world thinks. Is this making sense to you guys? Amen? Hallelujah. But I promise you, the greater blessings happen when we step into the mess. And I'm asking people to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and where He wants you to step into something, that you'll go ahead and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You might not want to. It might not be convenient. You'll probably have something else you'd rather be doing, or you could be doing. But I'm willing to step in. I'm willing to say yes, Lord. And then as we're finishing up here this morning, for all of you you're in here, I want to ask everybody in here a question. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That is the key question. That is really the big one, because that's where it all starts. Jesus said, whoever comes to me, and hears my sayings and does them, I'll show you whom he's like. Did you catch the first thing? Whoever comes to me. It all starts with coming to Jesus. Because every one of us in this room has sinned. Every one of us. And we all know we have. Jesus is the cure for sin. Jesus coming to this earth, being a perfect lamb, and going to that cross and being crucified is yours and my cure for sin. And if you never receive Jesus, you never receive the cure for your sin. And it is your sin that will keep you out of heaven, not God. It is your sin that will take you to hell, not God. God has already provided a freeway to heaven. I like that, a freeway to heaven, and hell can be avoided. And it's all by receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And if you're here going, I hope so. No, it's not a hope so. Well, I think so. No, it's not a think so. And John said that you may know that you have eternal life. It's a no so. How do you know that you have eternal life? Something like this has happened in your life or is going to happen in your life. Something like this. God, I've sinned. I've blown it. I know I've messed up. And God, I need forgiven. And I've heard about Jesus dying on that cross. And today, Father, I ask Jesus to forgive me. Jesus, I know I've sinned. I know you died on the cross to take away my sin, and I believe that God raised you from the dead. And so, Jesus, today, thank you for forgiving me. And I confess you're my Lord. And when I do that, the word says I'm forgiven. So thank you, Father, for forgiving me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It goes something like that. Something like that. Words can be different. If you're here today and you've never done that, I want to give you an opportunity to do that, to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You're here today and you'd just like someone to pray with you. Brian and Marge are here and they like to pray with people. I like to pray with people. Is Betsy still here or she slipped out? She slipped out. But Brian and Marge are here and they'll pray with you for anything you might have going on in your life. Anything that's happened in your life. We like to pray for people. So if you want to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you can come up here. They'll pray for you. Brian loves to lead people to Jesus. One of the funnest things to do is introduce somebody to Jesus. That is a blast. Marge enjoys it too. They love to pray for people. Amen? So, I'm going to say a closing prayer. You want to come up here for prayer, feel free to come on up for prayer for anything you want. And then enjoy this absolutely beautiful day. Amen? So when I get done praying, you can sing along, you can slip out the back door, you can come up for prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for this time this morning, God. I believe that I was able to share and get out what you had for me to get out. God, that we're going to step into the mess. We're willing to step into the mess. We're willing to go there. We're willing to go there. We're willing to copy Jesus. But Father, we don't go there alone. We could be tempted to say, I can't. But because of Jesus, we can do all things through Him, Jesus, who strengthens us. So, Father God, as you lead us into different messes throughout this coming week, we go. We go. But we go with you. We go with your strength. We go with your wisdom. And we will not forget your great power. We will not limit you, but we will let you work fully through our lives. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. So, if you want to come on.